So Brenda shared a little bit about who this guy is, and I could talk a lot about who Cindy is, but I better not. I've seen that look more than once. I'm on the same journey you're on. I don't come here having all the answers. Cindy will confirm that for you. You can believe a lot of things that she says, sort them out, and one of the things that I do believe is that our serving together can be a providential serving. And I also believe that there can be a unity brought together by the grace and mercy of God, that meeting can be a fresh and new thing occur here. If I didn't believe it, when Brian Brown called me, I would have said, I don't think I'm, you know, interested. But I really believe that it can occur, and I believe that, you know, it can happen. So what we're going to share and the message we're going to share is both old, yet it's new. Old that it's been with us since the beginning of time, but new that it changes every day and changes different experiences that we have every day. So, you know, back to the first statement, who is this guy? Well, Brenda mentioned a few things and talked about, you know, pastoring a church. One thing I didn't put in the bio is that I retired from Farmers Insurance July 1st of 2012. July 2nd of 2012, Cindy said, have you found a job yet? And so I didn't put that in there, but there's lots of reasons. But I found just the main reason is she wanted me out of the house because she works from home. So that's why we did that. But what I've done, and it said, we moved to Allendale in 2003, and I checked out some churches close to where we live because I didn't want to drive far. And didn't that sound good? And I ended up at Cornerstone, which was the farthest one away that I attended. But I drove by there one day, and it's like, I just felt drawn in there. So I went in, I went about 6 months or so, and, you know, and attended, and went to call the senior pastor one day, and I said, let's get together for lunch. I want to do something here, but you need to know some stuff about me. You know, I mean, I may look okay. That was a joke. But, you know, there's some things that you know. And so anyway, I shared a couple things with him and no problem. So I went through membership class and we did the spiritual gifts assessment that we go through there. And so anyway, what it ended up doing, showing him, was that I had the ability to care for people. I like that. So anyway, he offered me the position of director of, you know, care ministry and, you know, and recovery ministry. So what we did is we did a lot of divorce care classes. We did a lot of grief share classes. We taught lay pastors on how to work with people that, you know, that go through difficult times. And so anyway, I did that until March of 2014 when I called Brian Brown and, you know, and told him I was interested in doing something else. I wanted to pastor a church again. And he offered me a situation that didn't feel good. And it just wouldn't have been the right thing to do. I could have stayed at Cornerstone. I could have stayed at Lebanon, you know, up at the park up there. But it just didn't seem like the right thing to do. So, you know, as Brenda said, I've served churches. I've done different things. So, you know, that's kind of really where I'm at. She mentioned we have two sons, Ryan and Carson. Ryan is the one on you're right, and they're not holding guns. I showed Cindy the picture, and she looked like they're holding guns, but they're actually holding flowers. And that's Carson on the left, and they're both doing well. Ryan's working. Carson's attending Miami University and working also and making their mother very proud, but also very happy. So two good boys. And then we also jokingly refer to Baron as our boy. He's our 10-year-old German Shepherd. Very neurotic. Has never liked people, dogs, kids, cats, or anything. He's finally mellowing out at 10 years old, and so he likes two dogs now. Well, he liked two dogs. We lost his girlfriend, a female shepherd. But Ryan's got a pit bull boxer mix that's a lap dog that he's named Chunk. And so anyway, he's getting along with Chunk, and he actually likes people now. So as I thought about really where to begin my first message, I wrestled with some things, and the thought that kept coming back to my mind is the need for fellowship. The need for fellowship was prevalent, and it in my mind, and it's something I kept thinking about. And as I began to read and study, that was really what the main topic was. So I know the loss of John was a surprise. I know it was painful. Transitions are something we go through in life, and it's things that happen. What I want to try to help us do is walk through that. And, I know you miss him. I know you loved him because you wouldn't have been sorry to see him go. But as I need that same thing. So, and I've already sensed it, believe me. I have really sensed it. So that's where we went. You've got some notes in your bulletin. I will try to be efficient enough to get these to you, every week. I'll do my best. On the back of it, there's also some going deeper in the word thoughts. Next week you may have to, if somebody needs a pencil, I got one. You have to fight over it. Or a crayon or something. But you might want to take some notes to think about that over the weekend. So I've always believed that fellowship was important. And I think it's critical in our lives. So let's take a look at what Paul said in Ephesians 4, 1 through 7. He says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope, and you were called to one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ has apportioned it. So what he's saying there, I think, is that there is a meeting place. We live in a community of people that have needs. They all come, they're all different in different needs, but I think it's similar to the one that was written about the city of Ephesus in 1 John. 1 John speaks to believers about their relationship with God in light of the believers who have left the community, left that community of believers. And people will come. People will go. Our goal is to get people to come and stay. But that's one of the things that, that is inevitable. People leave us for business reasons. People leave, for just a multitude of different reasons. But our goal is, like you, to come and to stay and to worship God and to create that fellowship that you have. It was an awesome meeting a week ago Wednesday when I met with the parish committee about what their love was for one another. And what their love, I talk a lot with my hands, and what their love was for the church. And that is a credit to what God has done in your life. So, that's something that we need to keep in mind. The second thing is reminding them that a holy life is a proper response to God's gift of relationship. We're called to a holy life because that's what God did for us through Jesus Christ on the cross. He created that holy life for us. And the third thing is, the love of God makes holiness possible. Holiness is really what makes us want to serve. Makes, us want to show other people what God's done for us. And how he has produced fellowship, how he's produced love. We're going to talk at some point, and next Sunday I've got it done, but I didn't get it printed out. The next series of messages through October. And we're going to talk in a couple weeks. Next week, we're going to follow up on the end of this message. In a couple weeks, we're going to talk about what's God's plan for the individual life. What's God want out of me? What's God want out of you? And then what's God want out of his church? Because the last time I checked, we are his church. So it's individual, coming together in a corporate body. And so anyway, I want to talk about those then in the next 2 weeks, or the, not next week, two more weeks, sometime after next week. And then we're going to talk about 10 life-proven questions that will change your life. So why am I telling you that now? Because I want you to come back and hear it. That's really why. Yeah, and bring others. And we're going to talk about that. I come from a background of insurance, but I spent part of my life in claims, but I spent part of it in marketing. And so, since 1980, been in management, and am I glad I was able to retire. But a lot of that stuff you learn that is really beneficial. So I think there's a lot of things that we look at, that God can show us what to do. So, when we really talk about that, the community that we live here in Ross or Hamilton or Fairfield or wherever we are is really no different than that community of Ephesus that John wrote about in, believe it or not, 85 or 90 A.D. So things haven't changed much. We're wearing, knit shirts and not robes and togas, but, people are still people, and people still hurt. People are still blessed. So that's what he was talking about. So I believe all the issues of life and death are present between all of us. Whatever the issue is, whether it's despair, whether it's loneliness, whether it's frustration, disillusionment, bitterness, hate, even love. Anything that we can name is between us. Somebody once said that, the church would be okay if it wasn't for people. I didn't say that. But, a lot of times you stop and think about it, and if love was prevailing as it is here, there would be a difference in a lot of fellowships and a lot of community of believers. So we would see a vast difference. So if we think about what God wants to say to us now, these are the issues that he's called us to help others walk through. That's part of fellowship. Fellowship is the reward for doing our part in the kingdom. It's like Zig Ziglar said, grief is the price you pay for, I knew he said something. Grief is the price that you pay for loving someone. I like humor too, but that's just because I couldn't remember what it was. That's really what it is when you stop and think about it. And so, it's kind of really the same thing when we look at that. Fellowship's our reward for being part of the kingdom. And creating that fellowship. And creating that oneness and that unity. So, the second thing is that the life of God is brought by Jesus. 1 John 1:4 says, we proclaim to you, and this is from the New Living Translation. I hope you don't mind translations. I'll just tell you, I'm sorry if you do. But I look at them and I like the way different things are said. So anyway, it says, we proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. The one who is in life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And we now testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you that we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And we fellowship, and our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. So what was being said by John there to the people in Ephesus, that they could share that joy, he's wanting us to share that same joy today. Because there's no difference. So, the life, that has come to us is the life that was manifested by God in what brings us together. That life that was manifested by God was Jesus Christ. And so anyway, that's what brings us together. In other words, the fellowship of those who share is life and find fullness and joy. God's life is manifested to us in Jesus and through Jesus. What he did was bring eternal life to earth, brought eternal life to us. And we can easily see as we look around that the world has been touched by evil. It's an easy thing to say. Phil mentioned Iraq. Those people have been fighting for how long? Well, the beginning of time. Forever. You know what? They probably will fight forever, which is unfortunate, but they can't agree on anything. Can't agree on a ceasefire for 24 hours, let people go out and buy a loaf of bread. So, you know, it has been touched by evil, but it's also been touched by God's grace. And that's the amazing thing. There's William Yancey wrote a book, Philip Yancey wrote a book called What's So Amazing About Grace? If you haven't read it, I would encourage you to read it. Awesome book. Because the whole thing is about grace, and it's living in grace with each other, toward other people. It's an amazing book. But God's eternal life has come to us right now. It's right where we are. We're not here by mistake. I believe that. Even in the, you know, sometimes in the pits of despair, we're not there by mistake. I had an opportunity to talk to a couple. Cindy and I know them real well. And I think they had I think Riley was 3 and a half, being watched by a nanny. And she fell in the bathtub, hit her head, and killed her. And that's tough stuff. And so, sitting talking to Sean says to the mother, she says, I'm mad at God. I said, why? He took Riley. I said, no, he didn't. I said, no, he didn't. If you read and you know, God gives life. Who takes life? The Bible says Satan came to kill and to steal and destroy. She got mad at me. And that was about, I don't know, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock one morning when we were camping. She came down the next day and she said, I thought about what you said. She said, you're right. You know, I said, it's not about me being right. And it really isn't. It's about you understanding that where do you go if you're mad at God? You know, I lost my son, and as Brenda said. You know, was I mad at God? No, I really wasn't. Somebody asked me one day, said, and it's funny when those things happen to you in a way and you look back on it. People come up to you and say, Larry, can I ask you a question? Sure. You have no idea what you're going to get. My response is I may not answer it, but you can always ask it. And we were flying out of Indianapolis, a lady that was from Terre Haute, and we were over to Baltimore for a meeting, and she said, hey, did you lose your faith when your son was killed? I said, no, I didn't. Well, how do you not? Well, what's your source? What do you believe? Was it easy not to? It could have been. But after spending, you know, my grandmother taking me to Sunday school when I was maybe that tall, you understand what your source is. And you understand where that comes from. So we have God's eternal life. We're not here by mistake. It's God's plan for our life to be here. So it's true where we are. It's true what we're doing. Jesus brings to us the very life of God, not by any magic, but it's by his humanity coming into our humanity. And that's how it's happened. John writes about fellowship, and that encompasses lots of thoughts, lots of ideas, lots of misinterpretations. But in the word fellowship, John includes the whole idea of God's saving purposes, salvation history, our redemption. So look again at, and this is out of the Amplified, look again at 1 John 1, 2 through 3. He says, and the life, an aspect of his being, was revealed, was made manifest, it was demonstrated to us. And we saw, what? As eyewitnesses. Sometimes we look at this thing, I want to share something as a parting thought. Sometimes we read the Bible and it like just kind of maybe goes over our head, or we just read it and we read through something and say, yeah, that sounds good. We'll share something with you. We who already exist, as eyewitnesses who are testifying to and declare to you the life, the eternal life in him, who already existed with the Father and who actually was made visible, was revealed to us. Who are us? His followers. He reveals himself every day. I don't care if it's a flower growing. God reveals himself to us. What we have seen and ourselves heard, we are also telling you so that you may realize and enjoy fellowship as partners and partakers with us. And this fellowship that we have, which is a distinguishing mark of Christians, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. It's what He's saying, the reality of God's life, the truth of the incarnation, the truth of His reality really funneled down to fellowship. I think that's exactly what He's saying. He's bringing life to us is what creates fellowship. Because He says that in 3, what we have seen and heard, we're also telling you. That's fellowship. That's sharing the good news. We're going to talk a little bit in a couple weeks about what's your God story? You know, and we've all got them. We all got something that's happened in our lives that, you know, God's touched us about. What is it? 2 minutes, we share it, you know, and then we go to the next person. Now, I'm not going to tell you that, you know, you got to go walk down the street, you know, and share it with everybody. But there are people out there that's hurting that really wants to know what's God done for you, Roger? You know, they do. That's just the way people are. I'm not just picking on Roger, but I can read his name. I do know Roger. But, you know, I mean, that's what he's looking for, is someone, whether it be Larry or Phil or Brenda or whomever, to share really who he is. Fellowship, then, I can impress you. I know a few Greek words, so I had to take Greek. Otherwise, I would have had a Bachelor of Science. But I have a Bachelor of Arts because I took Greek. But there's a word in Greek called koinonia. Actually, it's koinonia. It means to share, sharing together, a common participation with one another. So the point is, Christians are brought together not because they like each other, but because they share a common life in Jesus. Because we don't know who people are until we get to know them. So we're brought together by that fellowship. And so we're faced the task of learning how to love each other as members of this family. Cindy and I don't live at 8537 Allendale Drive in Westchester because we just decided to move there and live together. We live there because we're a family. Is everything perfect? It is on my side. Everything is not perfect, and she will tell you that it's not perfect because of me. And I will tell you it is not perfect because of me. But, you know, that we're there. We're not there because we got happy hormones and just decided to move to 8537 Allendale and just live together. And that's the way it is. We have grown to love one another and grown to appreciate one another. And so I really think that that's what brings the church together. And I think that's what's brought you together. And I think that's what holds the true church of God together. Cindy and I have often talked with her brother and Cindy grew up in church and in a different denomination. And her brother and I have talked about the church that their mother goes to. And I told Greg, we were talking one day and I said, is it a growing church? No. Well, you know, people's lives, I mean, you know, you may not throw 243 or 234. You know, we may not have 250 here one day, but are we growing to where we want to grow? You know, and that's, you know, that's an interesting question. I think it's something we'll talk about. Someone once said, some of us are so westernized and individualized and evangelical-sized, I don't have time getting that word out, that we have forgotten how much we really need each other. There's the old song, on the Jericho Road, there's just room for two and no more. You know, that's okay. But what that kind of says is, you're out of luck. And that's not, you know, and there's importance in what those songs are and what they say, because Jesus is adequate for us. But the bottom line is, that's not really what we want to sing to someone who really doesn't know, who's really, you know, thinking about it. There was another one here. Now it's just Jesus and me. You know, I mean, those are things that, you know, that we want to be careful about. So sharing, studying, praying, being open to being led by the fellowship. One of the things that we see in Galatians 2:9 that expresses what I believe is the crux of fellowship. Paul and his group had went out to minister to people without the blessing of the general board or the general church or whomever. We may do some radical things that some people may not think, you know, may not think is reality, or may not think, hey, this might work, this might not work, or something. There's a church up in Medway. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it or not, but they were running about 30 people. I think they're running about 800 now. They've reached out to about every drug addict, and you know, and the minister there is a former alcoholic, and it's a spinoff of Ginghamsburg. But they're doing some radical things up there. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different things that can be done to create fellowship and to create oneness. I'm not advocating that, you know, today. I'm just saying that that's what Medway does. That holds true for the church. What I'm seeing as I read and study is God wants to develop fellowship. That's what evangelical Christianity is about. Sharing the good news of what Jesus Christ can do for you, can do for our neighbor. He can do for me because I'm on this same journey. So we're all there. So what happened when they got back in Galatians 2:9 is it says they were insecure, hadn't had approval, nothing went on. They went out on their own, came back, and what it says in there is the church gave them the right hand of fellowship. That's awesome when you really stop and think about it. What it did is it meant that across prejudice, across any type of boundaries, insecurities, or whatever, all those normal barriers that we said, God bless you, here's my hand. And that's what was said. So the first part of the series I'm calling, We Really Do Need Each Other. Calling the second part of it, We Really Do Need Each Other, part two. But we're going to talk about a little bit about walking in the light of God, what it means to love, what Christian fellowship is. So this being the first thing, I want to thank the parish committee for your support and for, you know, your vote. When I walked in the room, I felt like I want to be here. I wasn't certain if they wanted me to be here, but it was a good time. I appreciate everything, the meetings I attended. You folks are so gracious. And I mean that. That you have just been... Sorry, Ken. I'll get a different stool. But you have been so kind. And I really appreciate it. I am looking forward and excited about what we can do here as a fellowship, as a body of believers, the corporate body of Christ, to see this church reach out to a community that is no different than it was, what John wrote about in 1 John about the city of God.